tonight you are in for a treat. You know, I love that it's just a part of Churches of Christ. Every Church of Christ I've ever been to, you know, it invites men to come up and speak on Sundays and Sunday nights, and yeah, it's just a long tradition of helping people learn how to communicate spiritual truths, to help communicate the message of God. I remember at my church when I was first asked to do it in Grass Valley. By the way, there are like 5 steps at the Grass Valley Church of Christ in order to climb to get up to the podium. And so I remember the first time I ever had to do that, Eli asked me to get up and speak. And so, I mean, you almost need a rope and axes in order to get up to that thing, especially when it's your first time doing it. And so having these guys come up here and speak, I know it's great because they're speaking in front of family. They're speaking in front of people that love them and that want to hear from them. And so I've challenged them for the last 3 weeks to answer 2 questions. If you have your Bibles, be turning over to Psalms chapter 33, because that's where they're going to be at. And so let's start off right now by just praying over the speakers. God, we thank you. We thank you for the responsibility to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to teach each other. That, Father, we can come together as a family, as a congregation, as your body. And we get to love on each other. And we use your word in order to do that. We use your spirit, your intent to do that. Now, we thank you for the heritage that we have, the history that we have of people coming to us with the sole intent to encourage, to love, to bring light to this dark place. And God, however small or however grand we may present, we realize that we are all humble before your throne, that before you, we are all on the same level, that we are all your children. So tonight we lift up Ben, and we lift up Brian, and we lift up their families, their support, God, because they did not come here on their own. They came here with a family, backed by a family that loves them, that cares for them, and that wants them to grow. And I believe that we are so encouraged by them. So God, tonight, as we worship you and as we learn about you, Father, help us use what we can to go out into this world and to tell others about what you have done for us. God, we thank you. We pray this in your Son's most holy name. Amen.
Good evening. Today we will be reading from Psalms 33, verses 1 through 11. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Joe asked me to figure out, how do you love someone you fear? In what I just read, David is saying how much he loves God, and yet he fears him. David is showing his love by singing joyfully and praising him, but he is also showing fear by saying how the world should revere him. How do you sing with joy to a God the whole earth should fear? An example of this in my life is fearing my parents. I fear them because of what they can do. I also fear the consequences, and I fear that I will disappoint them and break their heart. But they discipline me because they love me. It's the same way with God. I fear that I will disappoint God, and I fear that I will break his heart. But it's more important to know that God first loved me. Some ways God loves me are by providing me with a house and with a family that loves me. This is how I love the same God I fear, because he first loved me.
All right, I did the walk. Am I done now? Is this? I don't think this is right. All right. Well, this is weird. Am I supposed to be up here? I don't know. Dave, maybe want trade? No. I thought that was gonna work. Anyway, so hello, and Mr. Fantastic himself, Joe, decided it was a great idea to ask me to lead a lesson for whatever reason, and so he asked me to answer this question: how do you fear the person you love? And don't be confused; it's the opposite thing of what Brian just did. It'll be all right. I got it. I lost. gosh dang it, where is it? All right, so during this whole lesson, of course, as Joe and Brian just said, I'll be reading, Psalm chapter 33 and verses 12 and on to the end. So I'm going to read that right now. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver him from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. So that's what I'll be quoting through most of my that's what most of the scriptures I'll be quoting are from. So normally when I think of this question, I think, how do you fear the person you love? That question. I'm reading some part of the Bible that tells me I should fear God. Like, for example, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But then I think, why? If God cares for me, and if he loves me, and if he thinks I'm worth his son's death, why would I ever fear such a loving person? If you had a friend who is willing to sacrifice their own son for your life, if you had a friend who is willing to sacrifice his son for your own life, why would you ever fear such a person? And the answer is you probably wouldn't. But God is not a person, obviously. God is God. God has control over everything. That's why we should fear God, because he is in control and we're not. Now, fear is kind of a relative thing, because we're not always going around like fearing, like shivering in fear, unlike how I'm doing right now, shivering. And, all scared that, something's going to happen to us because God is like a bad person, if he's a person, I'll just refer to him as a person. But, so we're not always going around just scared, wondering what God is going to do to us, and it's not like that. It's more like respect rather than fear. It's like, for example, it's like whenever there's signs at a beach saying high tide, and what it's saying is you should be careful and respect and have respect for the ocean because the high tide could cause you to drown. My brother Jimmy always tells this story from when he was a lifeguard. This is the story, I'm just going to read from this. He said that he saw this kid who was probably like 12 or 14 years old swimming out by the pier, the Ventura Pier, in the ocean. And whenever you swim near the pier, something about the current will just pull you towards the pier, and being under the pier is a bad place. The current, you'll slowly just start drifting towards the pier, and you won't even realize it until you're too close and you can't swim out. So Jimmy went over to him whenever he was in the water and got him out of the water and told him to stay away from the pier or else he might get stuck under it. So, you know, like a lifeguard would do, go get people out of the water. So Jimmy noticed that the kid had scratches all over his body, and he was kind of curious, so he also, he went over, so he walked over to talk to the kid's parents, and he tells them to keep an eye on their kid because he doesn't want him to get hurt, and the parents thank him and say, "Thank you. He was just swimming out there yesterday and got stuck and had to grab onto the bottom of one of the pier support legs." And if you've ever seen one of the bottom of those pier support legs, you would know they're covered with like mussels and barnacles and stuff like that. They're really sharp and will cut you. So the parents keep talking and they say they had to call out a boat and lots of people, lifeguards, in order to come save him because he was stuck. It was terrible. So this kid, who had no respect for what the ocean could do to him, he had no respect because he was just swimming in the exact same place where he got stuck and had to get saved by lifeguards yesterday, and he got all cut up. So, I mean, granted, he's just a kid, but I'm just using this as an example. he got all scratched up, and he almost did it again for the second time. So if you have no respect, a.k.a. fear for God, you will get a lot more than just scratched up, you know? So David talks about why we should fear God too in verse 16 through 17 of Psalm chapter 33. He says, "No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save." What he is saying is, no matter how big your army, no matter how many weapons, shields, and armor pieces you have, you cannot be in control, and you can't beat or hide from the wrath of God. Not even horses can save you. Think about that. So now, here, let me just switch this here. So now, just to get this out of the way, obviously, God is not just sitting in heaven counting your sins. He's not sitting up with just a pen and a paper waiting for you to mess up. He's more watching out for you, waiting to protect you if you mess up, because, you know, he knows you will. Everyone messes up. So, I lost it again. So, but some people might disagree with that, and what I have to say about that is, if you ever rode in a car before, pretty sure you've been saved from quite a few instances where you could have gotten hurt. So, back to what I said earlier about fear being relative and about it being more like respect. Like I said, you should never fear God to punish you for every bad thing you do, but you should fear him because he has control and you have to have faith that God will make everything all right. Let me give an example. Have you ever gone into the ocean, I'll use the ocean again, or gone surfing? Because if you have, you've probably been hit by some random wave that just came out of nowhere. And when that happens, you're just kind of helpless, you know? You're getting tumbled through the waves. You have no control over your situation. You can't breathe, and you're just stuck. And for a second, you think, am I going to make it? You know, am I going to make it in time to get air? And it's that uncertainty, that unknown knowledge of what's going to happen. So we just have to believe that God and everything he says is true. That's the fear that I'm talking about, that fear of just having faith that it will work out and that God is there. David says in verse 20 to 22 of chapter 33, "We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." What he's saying is, I have no control. I'll never be in control. And my hope is in you, God, that you will love me and watch over me forever. That's the message. We fear and love God for the same reason. We love him because he loves us. But we fear him because he is in complete control. And we have to just have faith and believe that he will take care of us and that he'll do what he said he would do. Now, before I end it, there's one more thing I want to say, and it's, have you ever seen someone do a trust fall? It's one of those things where you kind of just fold your arms and you just fall backwards towards somebody else and just hope that they'll catch you. And when you fall backwards like that, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to stop. Whenever you're falling, the only thing you can do is try to break your fall, but you can't just stop from falling, you know, unless you're like a superhero or something. So you just have to trust in your friend that he will catch you and that you'll be all right. And that's kind of how we are. We're just kind of falling, and we have no control, and we have to believe that God will catch us and we'll be all right. All right, I'm done.
Good job. You know, hopefully what you're seeing over the last couple of months as we've been going through the book of Psalms is as you see this fight happening within the individual authors, mostly David, but not excluded just to him. You see this fight happening inside of these people. You see them answering two different questions, and you see them talking to almost two different types of gods, or two different types of the same person that is God. In one hand, they are singing praises, and they are asking for forgiveness, and they are loving on this God for all of the good and great things that he has been doing. And on the other side, you have this complete and utter fear, this respect of understanding that this is a God that is beyond me, that this is a God who is so far above me that I just can't even comprehend him. I can't even comprehend the love that he has. And it's a characteristic of these Psalms that we're going to see throughout the rest of the book. So I encourage you to continue reading in Psalms and see this fight happening in David as it's happening in all of us, that we deal with a God that we both love and that we should fear, a God that we should respect, but a God that cares about us so greatly. One who on one hand says, armies can't save you, horses definitely can't save you, but I can. I am in control. I have given you life. I have given you forgiveness. And it is a beautiful message. So let's pray again over what we just heard and over these guys. And God, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. And as we fear you, God, and as we honestly respect who you are and what you are, the Father, you are in control and we are not. That we are merely being tossed by the waves. And God, as we hand over our control to you, we understand that you are our Father, that you are very much apparent to us as you care for us and love us, and that the discipline and the gifts that you give us are all to try to make us into a better person. That as we grow and as we suffer and as we find joy in this life, we know that you are trying to make us into your Son, Jesus Christ. That you're trying to provide us opportunities to love and to serve others. So God, we thank you. We thank you for what we just heard. The love that these guys have shared is incredible. And so, Father, as you continue to work through their lives and our lives as their congregation, as their family, as their support, God, we pray that we can provide everybody here that same opportunity to love on you as we love on each other. God, we thank you. We pray this in your Son's most holy name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand, and let's continue to sing.
The ransom will shine. I want a gold one, that silver light. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more walk, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold.
Please be seated. Would you turn to page 767? We're going to sing the song. And if you didn't have a chance to take the Lord's Supper, if you come down front, you'll be served.
In the hour of trial.